अस्य
अश्यता
हवा
चिथा
आद
मूलम
गत्वा
याचे
यद
अन्तवत्
अहो भटममानात्म्या
मन्दभागस्य पश्यता
भवचिद्धपादमूलम्
गत्वयाचेयरन् अन्तवत्
अहो भटममानात्म्या
मन्दभागस्य पश्यता
भवचिद्धपादमूलम्
गत्वयाचेयरन्तवत्। Of the unfortunate.
Ashyata,
just see.
Bhava,
material existence.
Shida,
of the Lord,
who can cut off.
Padamulam,
the lotus feet.
Gatva,
having approached.
Yache,
I prayed for.
Yat,
that which.
Antavat,
perishable.
Translation.
Alas, just look at me. I am so unfortunate.
I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who can immediately cut the chain of the repetition of birth and death.
But still, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable.
Purport.
The word anatmyam is very significant in this verse.
Atma means the soul,
And anatmya means without any conception of the soul. Srila Rishabdev instructed his sons that unless a human being comes to the point of understanding the Atma, or spiritual position, whatever he does is ignorance, and this brings only defeat in his life. Dhruva Maharaj regrets his unfortunate position, for although he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always able to give his devotee the highest benediction of cessation of the repetition of birth and death, which is impossible for any demigod to offer, he foolishly wanted something perishable. When Hiranyakashipu asked immortality from Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma expressed his inability to offer such a benediction, because he himself is not immortal. Therefore, immortality, or complete cessation of the chain of repeated birth and death, can be offered by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead himself, not by others. Harim vina na shritam taranti. It is said that without the blessings of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can stop the continuous chain of birth and death within this material world. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is also called Bhavachit. The Vaishnava philosophy in the process of Krishna consciousness prohibits the devotee from all kinds of material aspirations. A Vaishnava devotee should always be anyabhilashita shunya, free from all material aspirations for the results of fruitive activities or empiric philosophical speculation. Dhruva Maharaj was actually initiated by Narad Muni, the greatest Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra, for by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to the Vishnu Loka. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that although he was initiated in the Vishnu mantra by a Vaishnava, he still aspired for material benefits. That was another cause for lamentation. Although he got the result of the Vishnu mantra by the causeless mercy of the Lord, he lamented how foolish he was to have strived for material benefits while practicing devotional service. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness should be completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. So in the process of devotional service, then we are engaging ourselves in the Lord's service through engaging our nature. So this is an eternal principle. But there's not something separate to gain from that engagement. In other words, we engage according to our nature, but we're not trying to gain the benefits of that nature. Right? The nature is an expression of our service, our affection to the Lord. Right? So that becomes how the service will be rendered. There's a certain affection for the Lord, and then that is rendered through that medium. But the medium itself, the benefits of that, are not directly, they're not important for ourselves. They're important for the Lord. When there's an interaction between two entities, there's going to be generated an experience there. Also generated will be a result, right? Just as you can observe the two entities, you can observe the result. But you can't observe the experience. Right? That's something felt. So the real relationship is that experience, right? Based on that, but it comes because of the interaction. There's no interaction, there's no experience. Right? So we can see that's the most important. The observable result, that's not the important aspect. And in any case, since we are engaging in something for the other's benefit, then that result that comes from that is for their benefit. Right? The experience that comes should be for their pleasure. Does that make sense? So the medium can be anything. So, but if you think that the medium is what's important, or you think that the result of that medium is what's important, then there's going to be a problem. Right? So this is what Dhruva Maharaj's problem was. Is that he used the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From that he saw the Lord. But the result that he got from that wasn't specifically in his mind pure and alloyed devotion. But the result he got was that he performed the activity to get a kingdom and to get revenge. And he got that. That was the observable result. But the actual experience of interaction with the Lord, approaching the Lord, then he is seeing, now that is the greater element. Right? That's the great element. And so he's lamenting that his focus was on the result, not on the Lord. Right? The Lord was just a means to get the result. In other words, you have one person performing an activity towards another person. Right? So now the medium or the activity, that gives the result of that interaction with that person. Right? So that's the proper way of looking at it. But you can look at it that I'm performing the activity with the person, that's the medium, and the result that I'm going to get from it, that's my goal. You understand? It's easy to say it in grammar, so those who grammar makes sense, and great for those who doesn't, I'm sorry. So when the subject applies the verb on the object, then that result of that experience directed at the object is the goal. But you will also get a result, the dative. So if you look at the verb and the subject as the means to get the dative, then you've missed the point of the relationship. Right? You've just missed the point. So this is what's being talked about. Anyabhilashita shunyam means the dative element, what you can get from karma and jnana, that's not the point. But you can't say, and what is karma and jnana? It's not the activity. It's not the knowledge. It's what is the goal. When the result of the dative is something for your benefit, that's called karma or jnana. When that result is not for you, it's for the Lord, then that's called anyabhilashita shunyam. That means it's free from karma and jnana. Right? Because you can't get away from the medium. You get away from the medium, you have nothing. And of course, Mayavadis would be very happy with that. But Vaishnavas aren't particularly inclined to this nothingness. Right? So, therefore, he's seeing that even though he's using the devotional process to approach the Lord, the pleasure of the Lord and the results for the Lord weren't his goal. So this is the problem. Right? So therefore, if you're focusing on the medium, that means it's something other than the soul. Right? Because the relationship between the devotee and the Lord, that is on the platform of the soul. The results that are gained, that's not on the platform of the soul. Right? Unless they're connected to the Lord. So here, they weren't connected. So they were, what is it? Anatmyam. Right? They were nothing to do with the soul. They were dealing with his bodily consciousness of life. Right? So one has to be very careful in the devotional process to see that even though we will use a medium, that's the only way to render devotional service, it's not the medium itself or the result of the medium that's important. That's the medium is important to nourish the relationship. That's the point. Right. So another point that comes up is that in this is that the element of repeated birth and death is that if we're focused on the medium, then what's the medium here? Right? We're dealing with material energy. Results will come in the form of the material energy and material experience. So that would mean that if we're dealing with that in relationship to the Lord, the results we want are temporary. So where do we have to stay to get those results? Here. right? So that means we can see. You can see the Lord, right? Drew Mar saw the Lord. He was speaking to him face to face, right? But still, he's getting the material results, right? This is what he's lamenting about. He's not lamenting about that at the end of his life he's going back to Godhead. That's what he's not. He's lamenting that 36,000 years are going to be wasted staying here, being the Lord of the universe and getting revenge on his mother, maybe his stepmother. Right? So, the point is one will advance, one will do things by this. Even the process of mixed devotional service gets great results. But the point is what's not so special about it is its temporariness. Right? So here's 36,000 years, but it's still temporary. Right? So this is the difficulty. Now, if one is dealing with something simply for the Lord's pleasure, right? So karma and gyan are missing. Then that means you're dealing with the spiritual energy. So the result of that is going to the spiritual world. Right? So we should understand that the power of devotional service, even if it's mixed with these other elements, right? It's not, oh, that's useless. It's useless in the way that it's going to slow down the process. Something that's so important, you want it to happen as quickly as possible. To make it go slowly, that's useless. Right? But we see here is it is powerful. So karma misra, jnana misra, these are very powerful. But at the same time, then it's still lamentable. Because it's still not pure, unalloyed devotional service. So this is the thing. He's praying for something perishable, right? It's not that, okay, I want this, I want to be able to serve you eternally. That's the point. So now if he's here, then as a king, he's serving, he's managing a kingdom, he's doing all those duties. So that medium is fine. Because it's service. Because as we said, it's nature that's engaged. So whether it's your eternal, your constitutional nature, you know, in the spiritual world, or whether it's your conditional nature, the point is you engage your nature in the Lord's service. That's the eternal principle. But then the problem is that he's praying for the medium. He's not praying for the service. Right? Because you're going to interact with the kingdom. Now you can interact for Krishna or not. So why pray for the medium you're going to interact with when you should be praying for the pure devotion on which you're going to act no matter what you're doing? Right? It's a subtle difference. So this is why these are brought out in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is to see that subtlety, see the relationship, because that's the point. Gita is establishing that relationship is there. But Bhagavatam is showing how to actually appreciate that, how to take advantage of that, how to express that. So when you see it's very nice, Dhruva Maharaj there, he did all the austerities, he saw the Lord, right? So generally that's what we'll focus on. But he's focusing on the point is he could have actually just interacted with the Lord based on pure devotion rather than on that the medium of his interest. Okay. So now, yeah, and then the point here that the Supreme Lord, he's the only one that can give liberation, because he's the only one that is beyond, right? Because everything is him. So liberation means being established in a relationship with him. That's actual liberation. So no one else can give that, right? To be established in that relationship means it's with him, because everybody else is within him. So how will something within give something that is without? Right, so only he can award that. Right? So now, of course, I mean, so that's the technical point. So that means no one else can award it, but that doesn't mean that in the Vaishnava process, that by surrendering to the devotees of the Lord, by their well-wishing, then the Lord follows that well-wishing. And because of that, then he's favorable to award. Right? So rather than approaching the Lord directly, you approach the devotees. You approach through the devotees. That's the efficient process. But only Krishna can award this. Right? But as we see, is that if it to be awarded, it has to be something wanted. Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting, this is not what he wanted. He was too worried about his situation here, rather than the eternal situation. So there, then the process of chanting, its purpose is to elevate ourselves to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. It can give you so anything you want, but Prabhupada's warning, don't be like Dhruva Maharaj, who's lamenting that he followed this process and got something else other than pure devotional service. Is there any questions? Or yes. Start here and move this way. Oh, I see you're waiting for the mic. No, you first. Oh, no, you first. Oh, no.
On the subject of media, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, devotees, of course, are using many different kinds of media, some apparently in goodness, some passion, some ignorance, but it's all somehow being used to spread Krishna consciousness. Since at the end of the day, as you were speaking, it's really not about media or result, it's about our relationship with Krishna. Yeah. Perhaps you could also now speak about the importance of quality of media.
Points of quality of media. Okay.
And how that best nourishes Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Well, that's a good point. So it means, ultimately, do we understand the question? Right? Okay. So, ultimately, then, everything's connected to Krishna, so if you connect it to Krishna, that's what you're trying to do. But, since the connection to Krishna is not for our own benefit, it's for Krishna's pleasure, then you're going to have the element of the quality of the medium, the quality of the offering. Because whatever is the medium is what you'll get. Right? You deal in a kitchen, you're going to get food. Right? You deal with wrenches and bolts, you're going to get a machine. Right? It's just the way it works. So the point is the quality of the medium is the quality of the result. Now since we're saying, okay, these two are secondary to the relationship with Krishna, but the point is that still, relationship to Krishna, you have something to offer Krishna. You have an environment in which you are interacting with Krishna. Now this is then where the quality comes in. Because we have our conditioned nature, but Krishna doesn't. Right? It means everything is expanding from him, but it's not that it's his pleasure. Right, to be a bunch of people, in a pit fighting it out to the death, who wins, right? And then he is victory, and he is the strength of the strong, and all those things like that. But that's not actually his medium of pleasure, right? It means you want to have, a battle. Then we have Kurukshetra. We have something refined, something high grade. So the point is that somebody in these lower levels, they're going to start there, but they should never think that this is good enough. If everything is good enough, where's the dynamism in the relationship? How does it improve? Right? Here, in this case, there was a fight then to improve the quality, improve the results. Right? And ultimately, then it's got to be, okay, well, that's in the purview of what I would think is better, or within what my community would consider better, but what does God think is better? What would please Him? Since my interaction with him is to please him, the medium I'm going to use should please him, and the results that it will give should please him. So naturally then there's going to be the choice of, okay, so what does Krishna recommend? What does he prefer? Because Krishna is giving in the Gita all the recommendations, and he's the one who's given them. Then after saying that, he says, but in my opinion, then there's this. Why? Because his opinion, as a person, this is how he would like to do. But there are so many other opinions of other people as persons that they like to do other things. And through that, you can elevate yourself. and you can see the Lord. Drew Marsh saw the Lord, right? So you can see, but the point is in seeing, do you want to please God or it's all about you? Hey, I mean, guess what? I saw God today. You know, wow, that's cool. You know, like that. So that therefore the Shastras give recommendation. And then in that generic recommendation, then there's what our Acharyas give. And then within that, then there's what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. So that's how we should look at it. We should understand anything can be connected, true, but then there is a standard that really pleases Krishna as a person. These other things don't please him as a person. Yes, as Paramatma, as Brahman, that's great. But still, ultimately, the relationship has to please Krishna as a person. Right, so that's our goal. So we're seeing here is that there's qualities of mediums, and then there's the quality of the consciousness within using the medium. Right? So one can say that, okay, you're using an inferior medium, but the consciousness is very high, but someone else may be using a very high medium, but lower consciousness. So, of course, the higher consciousness, lower medium is better. Yes, you can say that, but if you end the conversation there, you've still missed the point. Because it's still who's pleased by that medium. It's still Krishna. So there is, the consciousness is foremost, but at the same time, there's also quality of what you offer. Otherwise, why do we offer nice outfits to the deities and try to get nice everything for them? But then outside of the Pancharatri deity worship, you know, or outside of our chanting, then it doesn't matter. But that's the whole point. It has to be consistent. So if you want the best on the altar, why wouldn't you want the best in your life? You know, so the quality of what you're using, you know, the cleanliness, the purity, all these different things, then those should all be there. Does that make sense? So that does that, it's overlapping. So of the two, the medium and the quality of it, the quality is always more important. But at the same time, there is also quality of media.
Well, as you were speaking, I was thinking how extraordinary Lord Shiva is, called the topmost Vaishnava Anangyatasha. He's the topmost Vaishnava. He's apparently dealing in a very abysmal medium, but he's yes. In the highest consciousness.
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
But it's also, is that, why is he dealing in that? It's not because he prefers
right,
that. It's that everybody else takes the nice guys. Right? You know, so he's the only one that has the, you know, ability and the potency to deal with all the riffraff. You know, so that's why he does that. Because it's still, only Krishna can elevate you. So in this transformed form, then he can deal with all these others that are, you know, serious, you could say, transformations of normality. You know, when things are normal, then it's very nice. Demigods are willing to get in there and everything. But when it gets a little bit beyond, then, you know, even they can't figure it out. Otherwise, they'd be very happy with Lord Shiva, right? But they don't, you know, like, this guy's too weird. You know?
By correspondence, someone might have taken it as their service. Now the question is, did Krishna demand that, or do you want that? We're always reaching out, and
right.
We're bringing in. So somebody might have taken it as their service to really be out there and reaching out
right.
to that, you know, Raja Tamagun.
Right.
So so we judge by the result. If the person's consciousness is improving,
yes.
But he's also
you could see the result. See, the point is, let's say like. You have, let's say you want to deal on the street medium, you know, let's say you have gangs and that. They like the police. They'll have out there undercover policemen, so they dress up like somebody from the street. But then there's the element is that you're choosing that because you really like that. You know, you want to dress like that. And so you're connecting it to Krishna. Or you want to actually reach those people, so if you don't dress like this, they're not going to be comfortable. They're on such a bodily consciousness. If you don't dress like them, they won't accept it. Therefore, you dress like that. Or is it that you actually like to dress like that? That's the point we're talking about. That's the point Dhruva Maharaj is making. He was saying, I really wanted to be king and wanted revenge. That was the problem. So That's the point. So when we say we're being practical and yukta vairagya and all that, that's all nice. It's true. It's great. But there is this point that Dhruva Maharaj is making here, and this is fourth canto. And we have another sixth before the tenth. So this has got to go quite early in the process. You know, especially if we say seventh canto with Prahlad Maharaj, this is, you know, the first, like, manifestation of a really pure devotee. So that means, you know, there's another three cantos to go before pure devotional service. So all these things in these cantos are what need to be, you know, processes to elevate oneself through, but also remove.
So you see that as the central motive.
Yes. 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 Yes, that's the point. Because anything can be used, you know. You know, the point is it's just like you're preaching in a prison. So is it that you're thinking no one else is there, and somehow or another I either have an ability or contacts, or some way I can enter that field, and I may have an ability to work with them and inspire them. But is it that you really just like being in that environment with those people talking their language, and you're connecting it to Krishna, which is fine, it's perfect. Or is it that you somehow have the compassion for those people, see an opportunity to take advantage of that, and therefore you're doing. Because it's not necessarily a small area, right? You know, prisons are a very major element in all cultures of the world. So you're talking about, you know, millions or possibly hundreds of millions of people. So it is a great area, but what is the motive? So even if it is because you like it, start with that. That's okay. But it should be that you can't be satisfied that it stays like that. Therefore, the devotee, when this point is approached and they defend it and says, you know, what's the big deal? Yukta Vairagya, don't be fanatic, Prabhu. That actually is a symptom of that attachment to the medium. At which, on one, and then in that case, then Krishna says, don't disturb the ignorant. But they have to understand they are ignorant. Like that. So you leave it. By continually doing that, they will be purified. And at one point, they will. But at the same time, that does depend upon association and seeing that there is higher levels of consciousness. If they don't, they just stay amongst themselves and, oh, those guys are fanatic, but we know what's going on. Then you'll stay like that birth after birth. You know, so if you want to be here birth after birth, being the practical, you know, together, non-fanatic devotee, you can do that. That opportunity is there. But you want to go back to Godhead, that's a different discussion. Is that okay? So slowly coming over here. Yes.
Cannot hear.
Yes. So the question, actually, I would like to start here on the strong commentary because the commentary goes into how the developer created this society, which manifested this society in a sense. You see from the screen that we are, all of this is specific and interpretation. So the need is to reach it. Sometimes we find the conception of Rasika Acharya. People already try to explain relationship directly between the Lord and the uncovered. But the Prabhupada has not been through his form such a miracle.
I will say in devotional, scientific explanations about relationship with it all about. That means that in the real conception of Rasika Acharya, one should know how to relate here and solve this in order to really relate to the Supreme. Yeah. So the question is...
Okay. That's the question itself. Yeah, go ahead.
The question actually goes to the principle of which is essential relationship. And some commentaries are also been in the sense that you pointed also the devotee who may consider all complicated the process itself, because intuitively I feel that I'm chanting the holy name and there is no requirement so much intellectuality or sometimes grammatical description when it's very simple. Like Dhruva Maharaj had the darshan of the Lord, so I'm chanting Also it relates to the last Sunday explanation of rasa and tattva. You see, I'm feeling the rasa already. I have the relationship. So this intellectual thing, it could also bring down my feelings down, in the sense that I am already connected and I understand my relationship with the Lord, and I'm quite happy with that, and I reach the goal. So what is the inconvenience? I will take note.
Okay, means one extreme one way and extreme the other way.
Yes.
Okay, so you understand? No? Okay. Question? So is that because it was only half of it was discussed, or because of the particular erudite presentation?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Means you have also here in the duality, or not duality, the seeming contradiction in that you have those who are on an elevated level explaining the relationship with the Lord, you know, personal relationship, detail of that relationship. And then you have those who, the process of chanting is very simple. So I'm chanting, I'm connected to the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj here, he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He saw the Lord. So therefore I don't have to really get into any details or make any elaborate endeavor in the process. So these two extremities, how to balance that. Okay. Means rasa, or relationship, is one entity. Then you have detail of it. So how rasa works, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or just sensual, it's still the same process. This many times is misunderstood, just like we have perception of the mode of passion on the soul, right? So these kinds of souls can't, you know, surrender to Krishna. They're different. No, but all souls are the same. They're all servants of Krishna. So in the same way is that we'll have these differences in the rasa, but what we're seeing is detail. It means you have the ashraya and vishaya. You have, means the enjoyer and the enjoyed. And what element in the enjoyer that the enjoyed wants to see or reciprocate with, that's then rasa. Right? Mother Jashoda wants to see Krishna as her child. So he reciprocates with her as a child. So therefore you have rasa. But he's the enjoyer, she's the enjoyed. Right? So in the emotional level, there is an environment or a situation or a person, and there's a certain emotional element that you want to gain from that. You want to experience that. So the other person has to respond based on that. Right? So that would be your rasa. Between the person who you're drawing the element from and the other. Just like the wife is feeling disturbed or sad and the husband comes home, whatever mood he's in doesn't matter. He has all those moods within him. But the wife wants to experience that support gained in the mood of sadness. So therefore, if he's smart, he manifests that mood. Right? Because then he actually is in the position of the enjoyer. Right? By taking on and supporting her mood like that. Like, no, but most people think it's the opposite, but that's actually how rasa works. Right? But it's still the same principle. You know, or the sense and the sense object. It means it may be dead matter, but that dead matter has so many ways that you could approach it through the senses. So you want to see a particular one. Therefore, that's the one that is, you know, is prominent. Right? Example given of, you have a rasgula and the tongue. So the tongue wants to taste sweetness, right? So it approaches the rasgula. But the rasgula also has shape and texture and so many other aspects, smell, right? And, you know, it makes some noise. If you squeeze it, you'll get some noise out of it, you know, like that. So, but the tongue is only interested in that one, even though the rasgula has many. So still, rasa is there. The rasgula is the enjoyer, and the tongue is the enjoyed, like that. Listen, this is where it really spins on us, right? So, but the principle of rasa is the same. So, when we get into the area of, you know, what we call rasiks, then the difficulty is that they're dealing with the detail of rasa, not with the concept or principle of rasa. And because of that, then they think is their detail that they're interested in, that they get the taste, is the only definition of rasa. And so then the problem comes is if someone's on that level, fine. You know, this is an expert. because they're on that level, they can deal on that level, and others who can appreciate that, then they can deal, it works very nicely. Right? In other words, they want to get a certain something from whoever's there, or them to reciprocate with them. But the difficulty comes if someone is not on that, they don't understand the principle of rasa, then you have to establish that first. This is the detail. Right? Somehow or another, by association, they've gotten there. They may or may not understand the principle, but in any case, this is their preference. But for someone else, that may not be valid for them or usable for them, because in dealing with the medium of that particular detail, they can't see the principle.
So it's not that the sentiment has to be based on knowledge?
Means knowledge has to be there, because you have to, sambandhigyan, you have to know who you are. I am servant of Krishna. Because the basis of a relationship with Krishna is I'm the jiva, I'm servant of Krishna. He's God, he's the master. Right? That's the start of any relationship. Like that. There isn't something else. Mother Yashoda, he's a kid, like that. She's in the superior position, but her life depends on Krishna. Right? The gopis, their life depends on Krishna, the cowherd boys, everybody. So it still is down to that, I am the servant. Right? So that's the basis of whatever rasa is there. If that's understood, then one won't be bewildered. Whatever elements of relationship are important, then the aspect is add Krishna to that. See where Krishna is involved in that. So in other words, the rasgula, so since the rasgula is the enjoyer in this case, so the taste of that rasgula, that's Krishna. So you're appreciating Krishna by tasting the rasgula. Right? So, in that way, you're serving Krishna. Right? But if you think, no, I'm the enjoyer, when you're not, you're the enjoyed, then that's why it's called perverted. It's been turned around when it's actually the other way. That's the perversion. Perversion is not that you're out, you know, eating mud or something. No, you're eating something that can be very nice and on a high-grade level, even on a level offerable to Krishna that he would appreciate, his associates would appreciate. But the perversion is you think you're the enjoyer rather than it's Krishna in the form of this rasgula. So that has to be explained first. That's understood. Then these other details are very nice. But if you say, oh, that's all knowledge and all that, no, it's not. This is the basis. You don't have that. You don't have the other one. Because if you don't really appreciate it, then yes, you may be advanced, but no one says experts aren't advanced, but no one compares experts to masters. Because a master knows who they're dealing with, and therefore they will give the principle. Because you can give the principle to anybody. You can go up to a 3-year-old kid and explain to them about Krishna's God and your servant and you're the soul. No problem. But to get into finer details, then you have a problem. So master means they can talk to anybody because they see the essence of whatever they're dealing with. Right? Because they can bring that out. Like I was saying before, they're fighting, so that's the thing. You know, what is it? It's the strength. It's that it's not the people. It's not the... It creates an environment. You know, so that, then they can start that. They can see God in what they're doing. Right? So that element, that is what has to be brought out. And so then in the inverse is that one is chanting, and one say, well, that's enough. But then one's saying, the process I'm following, that's enough for the relationship. What about the actual relationship? Right? So both of them, you see, are getting caught on the medium. One is taking a very simplistic approach. One is taking a very developed or sophisticated approach. But they're still, both of them, the mistake is that they're focusing on the medium and its results and not actually on the relationship. So keeping it simple is fine. That's great. The simpler you can keep it, the better. That's the recommendation. But it still has to be seen that it's pleasure to Krishna, that element. And so it's not just enough, well, I'm doing it. You know, it's because one is, I'm doing it on this level, that's good enough. And the other one is, well, I'm doing it on the sophisticated level, and only that's good enough. So then you'll have the two of them fighting day and night over this. But the point is Dhruva Maharaj is making a different point. Is that both of them have missed, you know, the importance of that pleasing Krishna. Is that okay? Yes.
Is it possible to be considered to be free from karma or the desire for karma again and still be on the platform of struggling with an artist?
Can you be free from karma and jnana and struggling with an artist? means why would one be struggling?
The reason I ask is,
in my own life, I find that I'm not in devotional service for karma and jnana. I actually don't want these things. I want to be, I'm performing devotional service to become free from karma and jnana. But still, I have anarthas in my heart and I perform sinful activities. Mm-hmm. So that's a possible. Is that just my mind deceiving me because my mind likes to tell me I don't have desires for karma and jnana? But I still, because like Arjuna said, or Krishna says, it's the lust. Arjuna asks, why do I perform these activities as if by a force? Mm-hmm. And Krishna says, it's the lust. So can one still have that lingering of lust, of lust, like the fan still going on, and be free from the desires for karma and jnana?
Basically means you're dealing with habit. You know, in other words, because of the distraction, then the focus is not going to be complete, right? So that's what Krishna's talking about, is that when that focus is continuous, then that is ideal. That's the standard that one looks for. That is what, you know, becomes, gives a great success. So, but the difficulty is that by habit, we do these other things, because we have to remember, we've been here a long time, so we're going to do those things like that. A very nice story was told, which is very interesting. Prabhupada was in the train. They were, you know, going, I forget from where, probably, you know, Bombay to Vrindavan, Calcutta, I mean Delhi or Calcutta, one of these three. And you had, what in those days, you'd have you can get coupes, which just is two seats. So Prabhupada would travel with a servant. So this time he's traveling Panchadevita. And so they were traveling the train, and you know, you're looking, you know, the train starts moving and the windows start, you know, the things start, you know, going blurry like this. You know, things are moving by and you're not paying attention. And then Panchadevita noticed that then there was a young girl on the platform, very attractive, and he completely focused, you know, and went by the window. And he asked Prabhupada, how is that? You know, you can't see anything, but I could catch, you know, that he was a nice girl. And Prabhupada said, that's because of habit. We bet you've been doing that for time immemorial, is that the men look for attractive women look for attractive men. So we're just, by habit, we do it. But it's not that it's our intention. Right? So therefore it was a great, just as a side comment, a great mistake on the parts of his associates to blame him for that, to see, oh, you're attached. Because Prabhupada didn't. So they were nonsense rascals like that. So, so does that make sense? So by habit we do that. So if we can keep, but it doesn't mean that there's not a slowing down of the process because of the lack of focus. Because when those things do come up, the attention does get stray into that. Now how you deal with that, that's what's important. Because things coming up is not really the problem. Because we see Kulishekar is saying in his prayers, and he's one of the, 12? What are they called? In the Sri tradition? Alwars. And he's talking about, and he's, you know, Uttamadakar, whenever I think of sex light, I spit at the thought. So that means the mind from time, that's what it does. It thinks of, you know, ways of enjoying, ways of getting experiences that one would consider nice. So even on that level, it may bring these things up. But the response is that of non-interest and of being involved in something connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that seeing of the material element is important. So immediately it will swerve from there. And as that goes, then it becomes less and less where one doesn't even see the material option. One only sees, you know, Krishna and all that. So yes, means that's our focus, that's our goal. If that's not everybody's goal, why are they progressing? Right? It means all devotees are progressing because they're in Krishna consciousness to actually please Krishna and go back to Godhead. But because of their conditioning, they get distracted by all these things. So that one is distracted, that's not actually the anxiety. Right? It's a good association, continual practice, cultivation of the knowledge, you'll start to less and less see. You'll overcome these. That's anartha nivriti, is as you overcome them. The difficulty, what we were talking before, that we always bring again and again up, is someone who's comfortable in that position of having those anarthas and tries to defend the position that it's okay, and to take any other stand would be fanatic. That is absolutely not progressive. That's why we speak strongly on. We're not talking on that they may have their attachments and all that. We're talking on that they are fine like that. You know, just like a pig can't serve Krishna. But if you say it's great being a pig, we don't have to go beyond that, then you have a problem. Right? You know, that was the problem in Indra's case. If he was a pig, okay, he got himself there. And then when Narad Muni comes and says, hey, you know, this is not so good, come back to the heavenly planets, and he said, yeah, this is, wow, I got so distracted, this is so stupid. You know, why am I here? Then, you know, he would have just gone, and that would have been the dope. But the point was, is then he said, no, it's great here. What's the problem? You know, I have my little pig family and my little pig pen, you know, and you know, things to eat, and, you know, hey, it's great, you know. So that's the problem, is that one's actually attracted to the medium to such an extreme extent that its engagement in the devotional service becomes secondary. So that's the weakness. So one has that, but it still means that process still is there, because you're refining and developing the relationship. So why would you want to get rid of these anarthas? Because of the relationship with Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Is that okay? So it's, time's up, but we'll continue questions after a few minutes again. But we'll end the class here, so everyone needs to go. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayata Gaura Premanati ki.